Some time ago, I was in my Christian experience. There are times when I feel tired, I feel weary, and a phrase that came to mind in those moments is just a phrase that says, "Grow not weary, grow not weary." And I feel that we need, as individuals, that we need to understand that God does not grow weary. God's power and his might is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And as I examine my own life at different times, I realize that sometimes my spiritual, apparent spiritual weariness is linked to circumstances, to physical tiredness, and so on. And as I meditated on this, I began to realize that our perceived spiritual weakness is often affected by our physical and how we feel in the natural. An important point to remember is that we do not grow weary if at first we are not working or in a spiritual battle. So if we do not grow weary, then perhaps we're not working but and serving God. And when we serve God, there is a spiritual battle that goes on between the forces of the enemy and the spiritual forces of God. And there is a battle which brings about a feeling of tiredness, of weariness. We need also to be aware that the enemy will take our physical and our mental weariness and use it to make us feel spiritually weary. I hope this will become clear as I continue. And as I continue to look at this issue, I ask myself a question. Is it possible to become spiritually weary? I concluded, because the spiritual is from God, who does not grow weary, then it is not possible to become spiritually weary in a true sense. Yes, we feel tired, we feel we have lots of questions and so on. But God's strength and power remains the same. It doesn't diminish. And so God's spiritualness dwelling within each one of our lives does not grow weary. It's the same. It remains constant. But there is this battle that goes on. Now, you may not agree with this concept, but whenever we feel naturally and spiritually weary, we can, in the spiritual realm, rise above this. And that is my challenge for myself and for each one of us, that we, in those moments when we feel tired, we feel weary, we feel spiritually weary in ourselves, we can rise in a spiritual realm above these things and know something of a spiritual renewal that the prophet Isaiah speaks about in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. A well-known verse that is often quoted. And it says this, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." And I think if we grasp that, if we begin to understand the greatness of God in those moments when we feel as if everything has pressed in and nothing seems to be quite clear and we feel tired with everything around, we can say, "I can rise in God's strength above these things. I can mount up with wings like eagles. I can run and not be weary, and they shall not faint." Let us consider some occasions when the physical failed, but the power of God did not. Or in other words, that God's chosen people were doing work for him. They became weary, and yet the spiritual was not affected. First of all, Moses. A great man of God, called of God, great leader. He had those moments when he doubted his own abilities. He reasoned with God when God called him to lead the children of Israel. He reasoned and said, I'm not adequate enough in speech. I'm not worthy of this call, and so on. He reasoned all those things. But knowing God's strength, he was able to overcome his own failings, his own weaknesses, and his weariness. And as Moses was used by God, I guess Moses on many occasions knew what it was like to be physically weary. If we read the account. And I would imagine when he was in the wilderness with the people that he led out of captivity. And over and over and over and over and over again they complained. I would imagine that Moses went aside on occasions and said, oh, what am I doing here? But then he was reminded of his God. He was reminded who he served. And he was reminded in whom he had his strength. And he overcame his weariness. Remember the time when the Amalekites were fighting the Israelites? Moses sent Joshua to do battle. The battle was hard, physically hard. Moses stood on the hill and he grew weary. But the battle would not be lost, and the spiritual realm had in his spirit, in his own body, he'd grown weary. And then, however, Aaron and Hur supported him. They sat down and supported his arms. If you remember, it's when he lifted his arms up, the battle was going God's way. And when his arms dropped, the Amalekites came and they seemed to be winning. And his arms were weary. He was tired. And Aaron and Hur enabled him and supported him. We cannot understand God. Here, he could have just defeated the Amalekites without Moses, without Joshua, without Aaron and Hur. But he required Moses to be part of that plan. This brought the physical into the equation. Physically, he had to be there. And it is in our natural weakness that things seem to go wrong, but God requires us to continue. And through my Christian experience, facing all sorts of difficulties, both in leadership and in personal life, I find myself at times when I'm weary, but then I turn to God and know something of that uplifting and to continue in God. Because of Moses' obedience and the persistence of himself and those around him, we see the spiritual overcoming and being victorious. It took Moses to be obedient, and it took those around him to be obedient in support of what he was doing. Now, it's interesting to note that the attack by the Amalekites came as the children of Israel, who had witnessed the deliverance of God out from their captors, that witnessed the parting of the Red Sea, that witnessed all of that, that witnessed the supply and so on. And here they were, and they were being attacked. But it was the stragglers that was being attacked. We have it recorded for us in Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 17. And it says, remember what Amalek did to you on the way as you were coming out of Egypt. How he met you on the way and attacked your ranks, all the stragglers at your rear, when you were tired and weary and you did not fear God. Therefore it shall be, when the Lord your God has given you rest from your enemies all around, in the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess as an inheritance, that you will blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And then there's this final little phrase in that verse, and it says, you shall not forget. God is saying you shall forget, but then he says they will blot out the remembrance of Amalek. And then it says, you shall not forget. I believe that means that you will not forget what God has done for you. And there are times that we must not forget what God has done for us. It was as they were naturally weary, off their guard, that the enemy attacked, but the power of God had not grown weary, and they knew victory in that situation. Many times weariness affects us, and we are at that time most vulnerable in our Christian walk. As we draw near to God, who gives rest and strength, we can and we will know victory. Moses. Nehemiah. Another great leader. Another man who was called of God. And it's at the time when there is the rebuilding of the wall around Jerusalem. You remember Nehemiah having heard about the destruction of the wall and the return of the children of Israel to Jerusalem, that he went and looked at the destruction. He then worked at the building of the wall. If you read the account, it was a lonely leadership. He went there, he examined the wall, and he did not initially share with those around him what he was going to do. But God had given him this instruction placed upon his heart to rebuild the wall. And he shares it with them and they begin to build the wall. What happens? They were ridiculed and mocked by the enemy. Not only that, if you read the whole account, they were oppressed from within. Yet they continued to build. Nehemiah chapter 4, which is a part of the account. Verse 1, but it so happened when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, that he was furious and very indignant. And he mocked the Jews. And he spoke before his brethren in the army of Samaria and said, what are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they complete it in a day? Will they revive the stones from heaps of rubbish, stones that are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was beside himself, and he said, whatever they build, if even a fox goes up on it, it will break down their stone wall. They were being attacked. So then we see the people begin to work. In Nehemiah chapter 4 verse 6, so we built the wall, and the entire wall was joined together up to the half its height, for the people had a mind to work. So we see they're being mocked, they're being ridiculed, but they did not grow weary at this point. They worked because they had a mind to work. But then they were attacked again. In Nehemiah chapter 4 verse 7. Now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being restored, the gaps were beginning to be closed, that they became very angry. And all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. What was their response in verse 9 of that chapter? Nevertheless, we made our prayer to our God, and because of them, we set a watch against them day and night. There was a response. They didn't give up. They responded. However, in verse 10, their strength failed them. There was a visual problem. Then Judah said, the strength of the laborers is failing, and there is so much rubbish that we're not able to build the wall. At this point, you would almost forgive them in giving up. They'd been ridiculed. They'd been mocked. They'd been attacked on every hand and side. And here they were. There was much rubbish around, and they were weary and they were tired. Has God's spiritual strength failed? Of course not. They were then encouraged to continue. Nehemiah 4, verse 14. And I looked and arose and said to the nobles, to the leaders, to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. And it happened when our enemies heard that it was known to us that God had brought their plot to nothing, and all of us returned to the wall, everyone to his work. They saw God move amongst them. And just that moving of God was enough to deter the enemy. And the wall was then completed. We go to chapter 6 of Nehemiah. So the wall was finished on the 25th day in 42 days. And it happened when all our enemies heard of it, and all the nations around us saw these things, that they were very disheartened in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was done by our God. God did not grow weary. The spiritual side did not grow weary. Yes, he used the people to continue. They rose. They were encouraged. Yes, they were weary. Yes, they were tired. But they did not allow that to deter them, because they rose. They knew God's strength. Grow not weary, for God is well able to raise and strengthen. Two illustrations, and perhaps there are many more in the Old Testament. Let's come to the New Testament. I think the disciples, at times, even though they were with Jesus, at times would have grown weary. And one such time was when they were with Jesus praying. That very well-known account. I'll read it because there are some significant parts of this account. In Matthew 26, verse 36, then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, if you remember, it's just before he's going to be falsely accused, he's going to be taken, and he's going to be crucified. It's the end of his earthly ministry. And if anyone should have been weary, it should have been him. Yes, he was weary in his physical, but he was not weary in his spiritual. And he called Gethsemane and said to his disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And he took with Peter his two sons and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Then he came to his disciples and found them asleep and said to Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, a second time he went away and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me, unless I drink it, your will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them, went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of the sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. I think a significant section of that passage is when Jesus says, watch and pray that you enter, lest you enter into temptation. There is a responsibility upon us, even though we may grow weary, and they were tired. They were physically tired. But his challenge was them to watch and pray. And we need to take that upon ourselves, to watch and pray when we feel weary. His disciples knew what it was to be weary. However, they also later saw the unwearyingly, if that's such a word, nature of God in Jesus, because he was victorious. Even it seems in this prayer, as he prays to his Father, it's almost a sense of, I can't do it, I cannot go this path. But he was faithful to the call and the mission of his Father. Therefore, to answer the question that I ask myself, does the spiritual become weak? The answer is no, because God never slumbers nor sleeps. He remains the same. He is constant, and we can draw from him. The weakness is confined often to our physical frame. However, we can overcome this in God. It's confined sometimes to our own reasoning and understanding, our confusion and so on. It's confined to that, but we can overcome and we can rise in God. The New Living Translation in Psalm 121 reads like this: my help comes from the Lord, who made the heavens and the earth. He will not let you stumble and fall. The one who watches over you will not sleep. Indeed, he who watches over Israel never tires and never sleeps. The Lord himself watches over you. The Lord stands beside you as your protective shield. When we're feeling weary, when we're feeling tired, whether it's physical, mental, whatever it might be, we know that God is with us. And his strength remains the same. We are therefore encouraged, grow not weary. Perhaps we often feel weak, but we must remember the words of the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 40 that I've read a part of it already, but another verse in 28 says this: have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, never faints, nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God does not grow weary. God does not slumber or sleep. God is in control, and he is well able. As we respond, because these accounts that I've read, we've looked at this morning, it required the people themselves to respond to mighty God. And then they see God's hand move. Paul, as he writes to the church in Galatia, also encourages them not to grow weary. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. The enemy will attack. The enemy will seek to destroy. That's what he's about. He will use it in all sorts of ways. If you read the account of Nehemiah when he rebuilt the wall, there was an awful lot going on within, where there was an oppression. And Nehemiah had to deal with that. And it was turned around and the wall was built. Sometimes we grow weary with circumstances. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Let us not lose heart. Paul, again writing to the church in Thessalonica about an issue of work, encourages them not to grow weary. In fact, he was addressing at the time an issue of idleness, but he says this in 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 13. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. In fact, the writer of Hebrews brings this issue into a spiritual context and speaks again of Jesus, who suffered much for us and yet was faithful. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 3. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. I think sometimes we need to just stop and look at Jesus. Look what he endured. in case we become discouraged, and understand that he was victorious, and we can be victorious in him. When we grow weary, let us consider Jesus. What do we do? What do we do that causes us to be weary? Well, we can be weary physically in our service to God. We can grow weary in prayer, because sometimes we pray and we pray and we don't see an answer. We can physically, in our mental minds, begin to reason. We go tired. We must remember that it is the mental and the physical that causes us to grow weary, but the spiritual does not. And it cannot know weariness. It is the same. Weariness suggests weakness. And certainly this is in the case in the natural. But the spiritual does not have weakness. It only has power. The disciples knew what it was to be tired after a night's fishing. Yet because of their obedience, they knew the result of the spiritual. And so to encourage myself and to encourage us this morning on our journey of life with God, whether we're here or wherever we are, let us encourage ourselves. I would encourage you not to grow weary in your service or in your prayers. Do not be discouraged when nothing seems to happen. Do not be discouraged by what you see around. But know what it is to mount up with wings as eagles. Yes, we need to identify the physical tiredness and do something about that. In the natural, we need to make sure our own bodies are right. Be assured that as we feel weary, the power of God does not diminish. The prophet, what does the prophet say? And I finish with these words that I began with. And those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. What's the instruction there? Those who wait on the Lord. Who wait on the Lord. That means in service as well. To seek after him. They shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Amen.